Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Advent, Advent 2024. Hope you're having a great Advent so far, even though it's in its very early stages, the first Sunday of Advent yesterday. Always love that. We light the Advent candle in church. It's such a beautiful thing, a reminder of the beautiful liturgical seasons we have in the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. And we're going to be talking about that this morning, right out of the gate, at least after the news, with Gary Zimick. And Gary, of course, is a well-known author and speaker and really promotes the fact that we need to worry a lot less, because this is his own experience where he was going through so much because he had himself in such a tizzy over worry. And 9 times out of 10, the things that he was worried about didn't even materialize. So he really went through a lot of self-reflection and really thought and prayed about it and decided he would speak and write about it. And now that's has beautiful ministry, and he's written so many books about it. His latest, Finding Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less. And you can find it at followingthetruth.com. And we'll catch up with Gary after the break. And then at 39 minutes past the hour, Alex Jones is going to be joining us about a beautiful prayer challenge coming up for Advent. Pray 25, the Advent Prayer Challenge. And of course, Alex is a CEO and co-founder of the beautiful Halo app, which is extremely popular. And Andrew was telling me he just had the TV on in the studio back in Ann Arbor, and that Alex was sitting down talking about this with Jonathan Rumi, of course, from Chosen, and he was doing some media interviews. And so we'll check in with Alex at about 39 minutes past the hour, and then wrapping up on Monday morning with a beautiful Bible verse from our very own Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International. So looking forward to the show, and I hope you are as well. Let's take a look at the forecast. We have lake effect snow continuing downwind to the Great Lakes, below normal temps across the eastern half of the U.S. Arctic air continuing below normal temperatures across the eastern half of the U.S. through tomorrow. And there's heavy lake effect snow continuing downwind of the Great Lakes, high pressure over the western half of the country. And that's supporting mainly dry weather for much of the region with some above normal temperatures. So a big chunk of the U.S., and we'll have more on this in our news coming up in just a minute. A big part of this really is affecting the Northeast and travel, so keep that in mind. There's still some heavy snow that's coming up in some areas. Just keep that in mind. I wanted to let you know that I am going to be speaking twice this week. For those of you who are in southeastern Michigan, I'll be at St. John's and Paul Parish in suburban Detroit. That's tomorrow night for their Advent by Candlelight. And then this weekend, as I mentioned on the Sunrise Morning Show, I'll be speaking in Rhode Island for their Catholic Women's Conference. It's Saturday, December 7th. I'll be doing 2 talks, and the theme of the conference is, "And Mary Pondered All These Things in Her Heart," which is a beautiful thing to do, always to be more like Mama Mary, but especially during Advent, because quite frankly, we need to ponder more. We don't do enough of it. And pondering, being back here in the United States, we went to Mass yesterday. Deacon Dom had the 10 o'clock Mass at our parish, and I have to say it was beautiful to hear Mass in English again. And we love living part-time in, Italy, but sometimes it is frustrating because we have not learned the language yet to the point where we can converse and understand everything. We're getting better. We're learning slowly. And I do regret that when, as a child, I wasn't open to my father teaching me Italian. That was his first language. And I was like, I don't need Italian. What do I need Italian for? It's so much easier to learn language when you're a child because they just soak it up. But we're trying. We're learning slowly, but we're learning. But it was great to be back and to see our fellow parishioners and our pastor and all the good folks at our parish. And good to be back here on American soil. God bless America now and always. All right, it's 4 minutes past the hour. We have a ton of news to get through on a busy Monday morning, the first week of Advent. It is December 2nd, 2024. This show brought to you by our friends at House of Joppa, their website, houseofjoppa.com. Big news out of Great Britain. Following the vote in Parliament, Bishop John Sherrington, who leads the Bishop for Life issues in that area of the world, as Susie Hodges tells us, the Vatican News is expressing great concern and dismay over the outcome of a vote on assisted suicide, saying that they believe the bill is flawed in principle and also contains some very serious clauses that are of major concern.
Bishop Sherrington said the Catholic bishops were especially concerned about a lack of protection for conscientious objection to assisted suicide. He said clauses in the bill prevent doctors from properly exercising conscientious objection, provide inadequate protection to hospices and care homes that do not wish to participate in assisted suicide, and allow doctors to initiate conversations about this issue. It remains the case, he said, that improving the quality and availability of palliative care offers the best pathway to reduce suffering at the end of life. Bishop Sherrington said, "We ask the Catholic community to pray that the bill will be rejected at a later stage in its progress through Parliament." Friday's historic vote followed more than 4 hours of emotional debate in Parliament, with lawmakers from both sides sharing personal stories which had shaped their decisions. They were given a free vote, meaning they could make a decision based on their own conscience, rather than having to follow a party line. Opponents of the bill said terminally ill people, particularly the elderly, disabled or vulnerable, may feel pressurised to end their lives for fear of being a burden. Many lawmakers expressed concern that there had not been enough time to consider the bill before voting, and highlighted concerns that safeguards in other countries that have allowed assisted dying had been watered down. Those in favour of the bill said it was about providing a choice to terminally ill people who were living in pain. In the run-up to the vote, the Catholic bishops and other faith leaders had repeatedly voiced their concern over the ethical and practical implications of the bill. Cardinal Vincent Nicholls, president of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, had warned several times that the right to die can easily become a duty to die.
And tomorrow on Catholic Connection, Father Tapa Holchek from the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia will be joining us on this story out of Great Britain. After praying the Angelus yesterday, the Holy Father saying he hopes that the glimmer of peace that has emerged can lead to a ceasefire on all other fronts. Vatican News saying he was referring to the ceasefire agreement reached between Hezbollah in Lebanon and Israel to end 13 months of fighting. Building upon this, the Pope also challenging the Lebanese people to elect a president as soon as possible. He said institutions will then return to normal functioning, proceed with the necessary reforms, and ensure the country remains an example of peaceful coexistence among different religions. Scott Pringle tells us officials are now confirming the death of an Israeli hostage from Long Island whose disappearance has made national headlines over the last year.
It's believed that Omer Nutra was taken captive by Hamas on October 7th last year and was alive up until now. However, Israel Defense Forces say, based on new intelligence, he was killed in the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel. Nutra grew up in Plainview. Meanwhile, the mother of an Israeli-American hostage from New Jersey being held by Hamas is pleading for her son's release. This is after he appeared in a video from the terrorist group. It was the first time in more than a year that Eden Alexander's mother heard her son's voice. Eden graduated high school in Tenafly in 2020.
Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, as Russ Conlon tells us, will remain or reopen to the public this weekend, more than 5 years after that devastating fire.
The cathedral will be formally handed back to the Catholic Church on the 7th of December, and the public will be able to go inside for the first time the next day, when the first public mass in more than 5 years will be held inside the cathedral.
He also tells us the rebuilding of Notre Dame Cathedral has been a massive undertaking.
The fire in April 2019 shocked people around the world, and there were fears the whole 860-year-old building could collapse. The fire brigade saved the core structure, but then it took architects, engineers, carpenters, roofers and glaziers 5.5 years to restore Notre Dame.
And work on the exterior of the cathedral is continuing. Catholic bishops from 5 Central American countries are now calling for a day of prayer for Nicaragua. The bishops releasing a statement saying this Sunday will be Central American Day of Prayer for the Church in Nicaragua. The call for the day of prayer after the bishops from bishops of Panama, Costa Rica, Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala requested it. More than 200 members of the clergy have been either arrested or expelled from Nicaragua. The bishops deliberately choosing December 8th, marking the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And President-elect Donald Trump is responding to President Biden's surprise decision to pardon his son Hunter on Sunday. Mark Mayfield fills us in.
In a Truth Social post, Trump asked that the pardon includes what he calls the January the 6th hostages who have now been imprisoned for years. He went on to call it an abuse and miscarriage of justice. Biden said in a statement Sunday that no reasonable person who looked at the facts in his cases can reach a conclusion that Hunter wasn't singled out only because he is my son, adding that it is wrong. He added that there was an effort to break Hunter, which in turn meant trying to break the president, and that there was no reason to believe it will stop here. The news comes as President Biden has previously said he would not use his authority to pardon or commute Hunter's sentence for his conviction on federal gun charges.
Reaction pouring in from concerned Republicans and others who strongly disagree with Joe Biden's about-face on pardoning his son. On X, Senator Chuck Grassley said, "I'm shocked Biden pardoned his son because he said many, many times he would not, and I believed him. Shame on me," Grassley said. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer from Kentucky in a statement said Joe Biden has lied from start to finish about his family's corrupt influence peddling activities as well. Not only has he falsely claimed that he never met with his son's foreign business associates and that his son did nothing wrong, he also lied when he said he would not pardon Hunter Biden. And Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan posted on X, "Democrats said there was nothing to our impeachment inquiry. If that's the case, why did Joe Biden just issue Hunter a pardon for the very things we were inquiring about?" And political poster Nate Silver had harsh words for the president, writing on X that he voted for Harris despite feeling like Democrats indulge in a lot of bad behavior that voters were rational to publish. "After the White House lying about the Hunter pardon, I'm not sure how much more," he said, "I can tolerate." President-elect Trump is threatening a coalition of non-Western countries with 100% tariffs if they abandon the U.S. dollar. The BRICS coalition, including Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. On Saturday, Trump said he wants the coalition to promise that they will not create a new currency or back any other currency besides the U.S. dollar, and warned if they do, he will impose huge tariffs. And it's a coldest start to December in years for some parts of the country, as we mentioned in the weather forecast. George Solis is reporting from Buffalo.
A life-threatening monster storm hitting in the Great Lakes region. Blizzard-like conditions from Ohio across New York. Travel treacherous.
In places such as Chicago, Detroit, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, high temps this week will only be in the 20s or the 30s. Today, we'll see sub-zero weather across parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota with temps in the teens across the plains, Ohio Valley, northeast, and New England. Further into the week, winds making conditions difficult across the Great Lakes, leading to blowing snow and a drop in visibility. Another cold air mass is set to arrive late in the week, bringing temperatures down in the upper Midwest, Great Lakes, and down toward the Tennessee Valley. And closing arguments are expected today in the deadly New York City subway chokehold trial. Former Marine Daniel Penny is charged with manslaughter and neglect homicide for the 2020 death of a homeless black man. Jordan Neely died after Penny had put him in a chokehold when Neely started acting erratically in a subway car. And his lawyers, Penny's lawyers, have said their client was trying to keep other people safe on the subway. Larry Kofsky tells us right now it's unclear when a woman who stowed away last week on a Delta Airlines flight from New York to Paris will be returned to the U.S., but when she does, she could be in a lot of trouble.
The 57-year-old woman was to have come back Saturday night, but the Daily News reports Delta refused to fly her after she caused a disturbance at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, where she was awaiting deportation. The woman, a Russian citizen with a U.S. green card, somehow managed to sneak past security and Delta gate agents to board Flight 264 to Paris. Flight attendants became suspicious when they noticed her moving from bathroom to bathroom during the flight. When she does return, the woman is likely to face both state and federal charges, including theft of services.
Australia passing a landmark ban on social media for children under 16 on Thursday. The country's Senate overwhelmingly voting to pass the ban, which will take at least a year to go into effect. That ban could see companies banning up to $50 million Australian if they fail to prevent children from having accounts. Banned up to $50 million Australian. It's the latest effort from politicians worldwide to regulate children's social media use as concerns about the negative impact on mental health continue to grow. And the U.S. Postal Service is temporarily suspending mail service to Canada. The decision comes as a Canadian Union of Postal Workers remains on strike over pay and workplace improvements. The USPS said the pause will affect services, including Priority International Express Mail, First Class Mail, and Package International Service to Canada until further notice. Sean Gallbarger tells us the use of pepper spray to break up the fight between Ohio State and Michigan football players is now under investigation.
Ohio State University police in a statement said officers from multiple law enforcement agencies assisted in breaking up the postgame altercation Saturday between Ohio State and Michigan players, and multiple officers representing Ohio and Michigan deployed pepper spray. The fight broke out after Michigan players tried to plant their team's flag at midfield at Ohio Stadium after upsetting the number 2 Buckeyes 13-10, which OSU players took offense to. One officer was injured during the altercation, transported for medical attention. Ohio State has now lost 4 straight to their bitter rival, with this one keeping them out of the Big Ten championship game this Saturday in Indianapolis.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warning about salmonella-contaminated cucumbers. Almost 70 people have been infected in 19 states. 18 people have also been hospitalized. No deaths so far, thanks be to God, but 5 people in Washington have been confirmed with the bacteria. The SunFed or Agritanto label cucumbers were sold between October 12th and November 26th. And finally, in our news segment at 15 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, the first week of Advent, the holiday shopping season is well underway. And as Scott Carr reports, some shoppers have put off a lot of shopping, hoping to score some big deals today, which is, of course, Cyber Monday.
With Black Friday and Small Business Saturday over, retailers say Cyber Monday may be the last chance for shoppers to get the deals they want on the items they want, and particularly for younger shoppers. Seems to have a growing appeal over shopping during a holiday.
Maybe like 4 years ago? I don't know. But yeah, I feel like it's not really a thing anymore.
I've done that like once before. I went once on like Thanksgiving. Like, I don't like it. I'd rather go like do Cyber Monday.
I feel like Cyber Monday is more of like a hit.
That's my favorite.
Adobe Analytics says this year's Cyber Monday could be the biggest online shopping day in U.S. history, estimating retailers could rake in some $13.2 billion.
It is a Monday, Cyber Monday, but more importantly, it's the first Monday in Advent 2024, and we're going to talk about finding peace in Advent with our friend Gary Zimick when we come back on a Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to EWTN. Find us online, EWTN.com, and this program, of course, is co-produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan, and our website, AveMariaRadio.net. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Finding Peace in Advent, 4 weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. New book by my friend Gary Zimick, author and speaker, followingthetruth.com. Gary, great to have you on the program again. And what timing, being that this is the first week of Advent. I love the idea of this book because I'm speaking actually twice this week, tomorrow locally at a church here in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and then Saturday doing the Rhode Island Catholic Women's Conference. And the whole thing is going to be based on slowing down and pondering and being more like the Blessed Mother. Of course, she was all about peace, and she, of course, is the Immaculate Conception and is a great example for us and everything. But especially, I think, Gary, with Mama Mary, she taught us how to reflect and how to slow down, which we need so more of if it's going to find peace. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you, Teresa. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, it's funny. The world is telling us right now that you better get busy. You better run around. You got things to do. Christmas is coming. It's getting late. And the church is telling us, relax, slow down, find peace through preparing for Jesus. I'm going to go with the church and really be intentional about finding some time for him. And in the end, that's where I'm going to get the peace that I'm looking for.
It's such a great point, because I ended my newscast with a story on Cyber Monday. So people are going to be spending a lot of time trying to save money, which is not a bad thing. And as you said, it was so perfectly, the world is trying to tell us, okay, you got to shop today. You got to get all those gifts and you got to wrap them. You got to make sure you do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. You got to bake. Then make your travel plans if they're not already made. And so we do just the opposite almost every year of what the church is telling us to do. But what I really like about this book is I think in Lent, as you say, we're much more aware as Catholics that there are certain practices. It's maybe it's because it's a longer season, but there's so much more structure, I think, to Lent in terms of understanding how we're supposed to be going toward the same thing in Advent, because Advent is supposed to be preparing, make prepare ye the way of the Lord. So what are you suggesting in the book? Because you have some good action items, don't you, in this book?
Yeah, Teresa, I wanted to make this simple. This is essentially a version of Give Up Worry for Lent for the Advent season. That's what I designed this book to be. It's a series of daily reflections, scripturally based on the daily Mass readings, because I thought it was important to let the church lead us through the Advent season. And look, people are busy, so I had to make it simple. I had to make it doable. I had to make it practical. And one thing that I like to do is, you know, this book, I like to, when you talk about Advent preparation, I like to read a little bit into the Martha and Mary story. We know that Martha was doing good things. She was running around. She was busy. She also was anxious and troubled about many things, and Jesus called her out on it. I wonder what would have happened if before Martha started doing all the necessary good things that she was doing, if she would have spent a little time at the feet of Jesus like Mary did, a couple minutes maybe. I really believe it would have been a different outcome. And I think that's what it is for us during Advent. I'm not saying these things we're doing, these preparations, they're not good. They're all good things for the most part. But I think we need to be intentional about spending a little bit of time with the Lord. And I think if we do that, all these other things that we're doing, they're not going to cause us to be stressed or anxious.
Yeah, the subtitle of the book is 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. What do you think we worry about, or how do we worry differently, do you think, Gary, during Advent and versus the rest of the year?
In addition to all of the normal things that we worry about throughout the year, I mean, you've got the pressure of the holiday season, as the world likes to call it, the pre-Christmas preparations. You've got to buy the gifts. I've got to do the parties. I've got to do the baking. I've got to get the perfect gift. My Christmas has to be perfect, like it is in the various movies that we see on TV. And, you know, that's just going to make us stressed out because we're trying to do really the impossible. And you know, and that is, it's very real. I'm not going to deny that the stress is not there. It is there. The pressure is there. The busyness, the distractions, they are there. But now is this time for us to really prepare to welcome Jesus spiritually into our hearts on Christmas Day. And if we do that, I think it's going to take a lot of the stress away. We'll still have to do the things. Maybe we can say no sometimes, too, but we'll be better equipped to handle the busyness of the pre-Christmas season.
Talking with author and speaker Gary Zimek, his website, followingthetruth.com, the latest book, perfect timing. You can get it quickly. Go ahead and order it. Just check it out, and we'll have information for you on the Catholic Connection Archive. Of course, the religious catalog from EW10, Finding Peace or Find Peace at Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. And we only have about 2 minutes left before the break, but give us a little bit of a tease, because we'll talk more about this after the break, Gary. You made a major turnaround in your life because worrying was running your life. And this is, you turned it into a ministry. But what was the turning point for you? And how can other people, if they're consumed with fear and anxiety, which is a real issue, and there's a lot of things in the world and the economy that have a lot to do with that. But what do you recommend for people if they have that kind of worry that you did at one point?
Well, quickly, the turning point for me was when I got to an all-time low and I realized that I thought I had a medical issue that was going to kill me. It turned out to be nothing, but at the time, I thought I was dying. So I turned to Jesus and I said, Lord, you just got to help me. And all of a sudden, all those years of Catholic school, all those years of going to Mass, all those years of going through the motions changed, and Jesus became real because I needed him to become real. And that's what it starts with, Teresa. Jesus, help me. Help me to get through whatever I'm going through. And that's, I've been doing it ever since, and I'm still an anxious person by nature, but one day at a time, I find peace as long as I keep him center of my life.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, in some ways it sounds simple, but we make it, I think, more complicated. I'm not saying that there aren't obviously good counselors and good help available, which can also be really, really important for people. But I think we start with God. It has to start with God.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we do tend to worry. And you're right, counseling is sometimes necessary. Medication could be necessary. But for many of us, we just want to be in control, and we're freaked out by life. But that's why the Lord comes to us and says, be not afraid, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen. More with Gary Zimek on his latest book. And, of course, we're talking about Advent, as we are now in Advent 2024. The book is Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. And more with Gary Zimek after the break. Stay tuned on a Monday.
He is only one of 4 popes honored as the great.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Leo I was pope at a time when Roman civilization was being overrun by barbarian armies. He stood as a light in the darkness and even saved the city of Rome from destruction by Attila and the Huns. Leo died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
How does the first commandment encompass the virtue of charity? The Catholic Catechism says it commands us to love God above all else and to love all creatures for him and because of him. There are numerous ways to sin against God's love. The sin of indifference neglects or refuses to contemplate divine charity. Ingratitude refuses to even acknowledge divine charity or return to God love for love. Lukewarmness is hesitation or negligence in responding to divine love. Spiritual sloth occurs when a person rejects the joy coming from God and is repelled by divine goodness. Finally, actual hatred of God denies his goodness and curses him as the one who forbids sin and inflicts punishments. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back. Gary Zimek joining us. Find Peace in Advent, his latest book, and great, obviously, for Advent. You can get it quickly. 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. So, Gary, I want to give you a chance to plug some events you're doing, which would be great because you and I were talking during the break that we're both doing Advent missions this year and Advent events and encouraging people to get out of their routine and to go and spend a couple of hours to talk about the Lord can be really, really helpful for that peace. So tell us about your events.
Yeah, Teresa, thank you. I'm staying local this Advent. I have 3 parish missions coming up. Tonight I'll be kicking one off in Riverton, New Jersey, right over the bridge from Philly at Sacred Heart Parish. Then next Monday I'll have one at Resurrection Parish in Delran, New Jersey, also very close to Philly. And then the following week after that, and these are all on my website, followingthetruth.com, I'm doing a 2-night parish mission over in Jamison, Pennsylvania, which is right next to Doylestown, Philly suburbs. And they're all centered on Find Peace in Advent. Really, they're geared toward helping people find peace during the Advent season.
And again, I think it's really crucial, especially when you're so busy, to just say, okay, basta with the schedule, enough. I'm going to break away and I'm going to spend some time with fellow believers, spend some time in prayer, hear some talks, ask some questions, have some time for reflection. I think if people could just say, okay, I'm going to do this, I really think it would make a difference in the rest of the year for them and help them adjust to a more peaceful way of life, not just in Advent.
You know, one of my spiritual directors told me one time, and this sounds like a radical statement. It sounds a little troubling with the way he said it, but I'm a doer, and I have trouble sometimes stopping things and spending time in prayer, just slowing down, putting my work aside and praying. And this great priest told me one time, he said, Gary, don't be afraid to waste time with the Lord. Mm. You know, it sounds radical the way he said it, but time spent with Jesus is never wasted. And that's what I learned. I burn out when I try to do it all on my own. And that's what's going to happen to so many of us. And I'm not saying we don't have to do things. We're all very busy. But spending intentionally some time with Jesus every day is going to make a huge difference. That's why I'm blessed to be able to go out and speak to people.
Isn't it interesting when we look at the lives of the saints, and I know you do this a lot, especially a saint like St. Francis or others, or even some of the ones who are very monastic and lived a, you know, a very remote life, where they prayed and what they did. Because if you follow the trail of St. Francis, for example, through Italy, I mean, he's a very well-traveled saint. He went all the way over to the Middle East, and he went down to Rome. He went lots of places. But if you look at the places that he went in Italy, for example, where he established the first live nativity in Greccio, Lazio, which is in the middle of nowhere on top of a mountain, or where he received the stigmata, going to pray there and get closer to the Lord. Again, this one up in Tuscany, but like in such a remote place still today. They are giving us ideas. Okay, so maybe we're not going to go in the forest and go up a mountain, but for goodness sake, going to, let's say, a retreat that you're doing and just giving yourself a couple of hours, they're telling us this is important. To do this in your life is super important.
Yeah, and look, as Christians, we're called to model our lives after Jesus, and what did he do? It's clearly evident, as recorded in the Gospels, that he would frequently go to a deserted place and pray, right? I mean, that's if he found the time to do it, and how busy was Jesus, then I don't really have any excuses. And again, it doesn't take much time, but we've got to be intentional about it, because otherwise, we're just going to get caught up into the craziness of the world and lose sight. It would just lose our focus, especially during this Advent season. There's a temptation for that to happen, and we really don't want to do that.
Talking with Gary Zimek, his book, Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas, followingthetruth.com. I'm wondering, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, has the world like not even acknowledged Advent? I mean, or even, let's say, like this past weekend was Thanksgiving week, and I always felt sorry for the Thanksgiving holiday. Not that it's a person, but I just felt bad because it gets such a bad rap in the sense that, yeah, you hear about the recipes and whatnot, but everybody has moved on to Christmas well before Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving becomes kind of a Christmas thing, and then Advent kind of gets, you know, in the middle of it, but you don't hear a lot about Advent in the world. I think you hear more about Lent, even from the legacy media, where they understand they don't understand the theology behind it, but they do mention it. They mention, of course, Ash Wednesday and giving things up for Lent. But Advent doesn't seem to be discussed at all in the world.
No, you're exactly right. And in fact, at Mass yesterday, my pastor in his homily said, as Christians, we're out of sync with the rest of the world because the rest of the world has already moved on to Christmas. You know, and we're called to slow down and prepare to welcome Jesus. Yeah, he's coming. He'll be here, but let's do something to prepare. That's one of the reasons I felt the need to write this book, because during Lent, people are aware, well, I should do something. I should give something up for Lent. But even me, for years during Advent, I thought, all right, I'm supposed to prepare, but what exactly am I supposed to do, and what am I preparing for? Because wasn't Jesus already born? You know, so there's a need to prepare. He's coming again, and he wants to come to us. And, you know, today, as a matter of fact, you know, he wants to come to us more deeply, but we need to do some preparation.
Where would you suggest people take your book? I mean, would you recommend adoration, maybe going early to Mass, maybe going to a chapel, all of the above, or finding a quiet place in the home? What do you think? I know it's up to the individual, but what helps you in terms of finding your peace?
You know, Teresa, I wake up early. For me, it works early in the morning, and I have my quiet time. I've got my chair in the living room before anybody's awake, and I spend some time with the Lord. And then I'm blessed to be able to go to daily Mass every day. So I would say whatever works, This is a doable book. This is 5 minutes a day. And, you know, the Lord will not be outdone in generosity. We give him 5 minutes, he's going to give us much more. But I think we have to make a decision to be intentional, to make a conscious decision to give him some time each day. I know I have to do that because mm-hmm. otherwise I'd fall apart. You know, I need him.
Mm-hmm. I also think, too, which is so beautiful about this book, that concentrating on the daily readings and the importance of Scripture in our lives. And you say you give 4 points here: read, reflect, respond, and pray. So you have a brief little guideline of how to treat the readings during Advent.
Exactly. And these readings, the Bible verse I use every day, comes from the daily Mass reading. So I'm letting the Church, in her infinite wisdom, lead us through the Advent season. These are just not my ideas. And I thought that was really important. And that stretches me as an author, too, because sometimes I look at the daily Mass readings and I say, wow, this is tough. What can I say about this? Mm-hmm. But I pray about it, you know, and the Lord always gives me something. So, yeah, it's important to let the Lord speak to us through Scripture.
So before we let you go, are your events that you're doing in the next week or so, are they based on the new book?
They are.
And if folks want to, I know it's probably too late for this year, but if they want to get you to come to their parish maybe during Lent, because I know you have books all about Lent, too, and not worrying during Lent and how to really make it the most prayerful and, you know, very fruitful for you during these different liturgical seasons, can they get in touch with you at followmethetruth.com?
Absolutely. And this is a unique year for me, Teresa. I told you off the air that my wife had some health issues, so I had to cancel my 2025 bookings, but she's doing better now. And I'm anxious to get back out on the road. So I have openings for Lent, for Give Up Worry, for Lent, for 2025. And yeah, followingthetruth.com is the place for anyone who's interested to get in touch with me.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Gary is available next year. So check out his great website, followingthetruth.com. And for Advent, pick up a copy of Find Peace in Advent, 4 weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. Gary, great to hear from you. If I don't talk to you, not that I'm rushing the season, but if I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you, Teresa. You as well. Thanks
right.
so much for
God
having
bless.
Me.
God bless. Again, the book, Find Peace in Advent, by our friend Gary Zimick, followingthetruth.com. 4 weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. We'll be right back.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope.
The third commandment: remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. You know, of all the commandments, it might seem that we would get this one right. After all, it commands us to rest one day. But so often we're off to our own pursuits. God asks us to take one day to stop, reflect, rejoice, spend time with Him and with our family. But so often we're running everywhere else. It's also a day for worship. The book of Leviticus says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. And the book of Hebrews says that we should not neglect to meet together, as is a habit of some. And so again, we're asked by God to spend time reflecting and worshiping, and likewise spend time with our family. The third commandment: remember to keep holy the Sabbath day.
For more about the Ten Commandments, visit EWTNRC.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
There's a simple step to raising a more grateful child. I used to say, easy, eliminate half of their material possessions. I don't say that anymore. That's ridiculous. I say 75%. They don't even miss 50. 22 stuffed animals, you go down to 11? Not exactly a hardship. Simple step to raising a more grateful child. Don't be so free with the material stuff. Research has shown more generous people, by and large, have less. You give a child less, he's more willing to share it. He also is more able to occupy himself with things like boxes, and dirt balls, and rocks, worms, stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything.
Okay, Fratelli and Sorelli, brothers and sisters, we're all about helping you with great resources for Advent, and I hope you're getting the message this morning that we all need, every single one of us, myself included, to slow down more, So after Gary's interview on his book on not worrying during Lent, I'm so excited to have Alex Jones back with us. He's the CEO and co-founder of Hallow, an amazing app. And he's going to be talking about a beautiful prayer event, Pray 25, a prayer challenge for Advent. Alex, great to talk to you again. Happy Advent. So tell us about the prayer challenge.
Yeah, we're really excited for this one. We do these big challenges. The biggest things that we do each year, the one is obviously Lent and then Advent. And it looks like this will be the biggest thing we've ever done by the grace of God. But what we're doing is, it's a 25-day prayer challenge through December, 10, 15 minutes a day. What we try to do is just start each day or close each day just centered on the Lord and spending time really in prayer. The theme and the content, though, I'm really excited about. So we're going through, the theme is For God So Loved the World, which we've all heard 1,000 times. And the goal for us was really, how could we bring this to life in a way that, let the Spirit bring this to life in a way that has never really happened in any of our lives before. And I think, Jonathan and a handful of guys who are a part of the challenge did a really incredible job. Our test for whether it's a good challenge or not is whether we can get them to cry. And we got some tears. I know I was crying as we recorded up to this. It's, what we try to do is Advent can be this time of, joy and celebration and happiness, which is all great. But for us, it's, the theme that we're taking is should also break our hearts. And it For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, which is a tremendous gift, but he gave his only son knowing what we would do to him, knowing the sacrifice mm-hmm. that his son would have to make. And the artwork for the challenge, I think, really brings this to life on the app, on Hallow, which is the image of Mary holding the child Jesus in the manger, but then in the shadows you see Mary holding the body of Jesus taken from the cross. And it's just this heartbreakingly beautiful love for us. And so we journey through this book of Severe Mercy, which has a bunch of a journey of a husband and wife into the faith and then through suffering deeper in faith with the help of C.S. Lewis, who was their friend, and a bunch of letters for C.S. Lewis. And so it's this really beautiful challenge. I'm really excited for it.
Now, you mentioned Jonathan. I know we were talking about the verse from John 3:16, but you were on doing interviews right before you came on with us with Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus in Chosen. He's been very instrumental in many of your events, and he has such a strong faith. I think he's such a good witness in so many ways.
Yeah, we had dinner last night. He's an incredible friend, a great mentor, and you're right. We've been working with him for, really 5 years since really the beginning of Hallow. He started off doing these really beautiful, sleep Bible readings that are really soothing and just help close your night in scripture. But for us, we've watched, and that was way before The Chosen had ever taken off, and we've watched, what The Chosen has done over the last 5 years and how his life has evolved over the last 5 years, and he's just stayed this incredible man of faith, rooted on Christ, with the mission of sharing Christ with the world, and he's incredibly talented. He's spent, 20 years training as a voice actor, and so the recordings that he does on the set, it's on Hallow. It's just, we've heard these things 1,000 times, but it's just, how can you make them fresh? How can you bring them alive in a new way in our hearts? And he just does this beautiful job every time. And he's incredibly humble. It's just is an honor to get to work with him and call him a friend.
Talking with Alex Jones, the CEO and co-founder of the Hallow app and the Advent Prayer 25 Prayer Challenge, which is available now. You can check it out. Did you expect when you started this idea of the Hallow app for it to explode the way it did, Alex?
Had you told me 1,000 people would use this thing, I would have told you were crazy. That's 1,000 people is a lot of people. That's if I looked outside right now and I saw 1,000 people praying on this, I'd say that's insane. I mean, we started it at the beginning just for me. I had fallen away from my faith and came back to it through discovering really the power and the life-changing beauty of contemplative and meditative prayer within the church. And it's just this untapped resource for me. And it just changed my life, just really spending time in silence with God. It's just, the world is so busy and so noisy. But so we built it really just at the beginning just for me. But the fact that, 100 people started using it, or 200 or 500 or 1,000, I think we're at now 22 million downloads. We have 500,000 people joined this Advent Challenge. We'll probably have over 1 million people joining it. It'll probably be our biggest thing. I mean, it's incredible to watch what the good Lord does with it. The only real thing I've ever learned through the Hallow thing over the last 6 years is just surrendering to the Lord and
exactly.
Making sure he can work in a way he wants to. So it's been an honor to watch him work.
Yeah. Now, a question. I just interviewed another author. He's written a beautiful book. He writes a lot about worry, and this book is based on Advent and how to decrease worry during Advent. And he has a really good point in the book about the fact that most of us are more, I think, familiar with what to do during Lent in terms of practices, and maybe there's not as much structure that's offered during Advent. Is this one of the reasons that you decided to do this, to give us a little bit more structure on how to get through Advent and really prepare for the coming of the Lord?
Yeah, you know, for us, it's really Advent is about, like you said, preparing for the coming of our Lord, and primarily within our hearts. Obviously, we celebrate it historically and at the end of time, but you know, for us, it's really how can we say, come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts in a way that we never have before. And to do that with the practice that really we should extend throughout the whole year, but certainly should deepen during the time of Advent. And yeah, there's a lot more structure, and people kind of know what to do during Lent. So for us, it's how can we start kind of a 25-day prayer challenge here during December, which you're right, December is, I mean, especially this year, I don't know what it is, but it feels like it jumped up on us. I've got, like, you know, got to go travel to see family and get gifts, and there's 1,000 things we got to do over the next 25 days. But it's, you know, the time should be focused on the Lord. It should be about the Lord. The rest of the stuff should center around that. And so how can we start each day, just 10, 15 minutes, journeying into a deeper relationship with the Lord and really saying, come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts and letting him into our hearts.
Yeah, I just think having these resources and this variety is so, so important. I mean, we see what's happening. There's a big story. I don't know if you heard about it, but in Australia, they voted to ban social media access for kids under 16. And so there's good media like yours and like EW10 and Catholic media. And, you know, there's some good stuff out there secularly in terms of culture and whatnot. Not that much as there used to be, but there is. So it's a real challenge for us. And how are we engaging in the media? How are we consuming it? That's why what you do is so important.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's God can use anything. And I agree with, you know, a lot of people are very wary of technology, and I think rightfully so. I mean, the vast majority of stuff that's on the internet is right. Very evil, is terrible. And even if it's not, the connection to technology, it's just unhealthy, and it just consumes your life with distraction or worry or stress or even just work or news or whatever it is. And for us, it's okay, you know, the same thing is true of any tool, whether it's books or magazines or whatever. They can be used for tremendous evil, but they can also be used for tremendous good. God can reach out to people where they are, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, in social media, and introduce them into a relationship with him and allow us to have like a healthy disconnection from our phones, a healthy connection from technology and social media, and to sanctify them, to let God into them so that they become tools for us to deepen a relationship with him, not to distract ourselves from him.
So how do we get this program? This ad, it's on Hallow. So if people haven't signed up for it yet, what do they do, Alex?
So you just download the app. It's Hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W. It's on any app store. If you're on an iPhone, it's the little blue app store icon. If you're on an Android phone, it's the Google Play Store. Then Hallow, H-A-L-L-O-W. Or if you're on a computer, you can go to hallow.com and sign up there. And you just download it, open it, and it's the first thing that pops up as you create an account. It's just a little Advent Pray 25 challenge, and it kicks off today. So it just takes 10 minutes either to close your day or start your day in prayer. As we've heard a lot of folks, it's a really beautiful first day, so I'm really excited for folks to check it out.
So if you miss the first day, can you go back and go listen to it?
Of course. Well, there's still tonight. A lot of people do it at night as a way to close your day. A lot of people do it in the morning, but we try to write it in a way, and we tried to journey through it in a way where if you join late, you can either start from day one and, you know, catch up, or you can start from day two or day three or next week on Monday, whenever works for you, and really try to find a way to bring God even more radically into your heart this Advent.
Yeah, I would really recommend it in trying to keep with the day and keeping it organized. It just gives that more, that structural, because it's something to look forward to and gives you a lot of peace. Alex, thanks so much for all you do and taking the time to talk to us this morning. I know it's very busy. Speaking of telling people to slow down, I know it's hard because, you know, we're both in media and we're doing all kinds of stuff, but I really appreciate all your great work with Hallow. Alex Jones is the CEO and co-founder of Hallow, talking about their beautiful Pray 25 prayer challenge, which begins today with Jonathan Rumi, who plays, of course, Jesus in the very popular Chosen series. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it. We'll be right back with more Catholic Connection to wrap us up on the first Monday of Advent. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kowarski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
Pro-Life Across America.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
This show is underwritten in part by the following nonprofit company.
My dear brothers and sisters, I'm Bishop Gerald Vinke of the Diocese of Salina in Kansas. This year, you can create a Christmas miracle for a child growing up in the extreme poverty of a developing country. By donating to Send a Box of Joy, you will surprise a child with what could be the first Christmas gift of his or her life. You can bless a child today by donating at boxofjoy.org.
Wrapping up our first Monday of Advent with our Bible verse of the week from Gail Barringer Buckley with Catholic Scripture Study International. She's a founder and president. Hey, my dear, happy Advent. What's our verse for today?
Well, happy Advent to you, Teresa, and your listeners. Today's, next week I'll probably do something on Advent, but today we're going to have a verse from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 44 and 45. And it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." So these are the words of Jesus, and part of, you know, his Sermon on the Mount, where he challenges followers to embrace a radical form of, you know, love. You know, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, this command was in sharp contrast to what they, you know, the people then knew, you know, eye for an eye, you know, when they sought, you know, justice or revenge for when they had been wrong. But, you know, Jesus presents a different path, you know, one of love and forgiveness. And his teaching is to love our enemies. I think, you know, Teresa, I think it's one of the most challenging parts of Christian faith.
Yep.
You know, Jesus wants us to sincerely, you know, care about others rather than just being, you know, polite or tolerating people we don't like. And, you know, we should desire their well-being. Even those who hate us or wish us harm, you know, the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have for others is known as agape, you know, agape love, which, you know, is a selfless, you know, unconditional kind of love, you know. Jesus modeled this kind of love, you know, even from the cross. You know, when he was on the cross, he was praying for his enemies, those that were persecuting him and who had put him on the cross, you know, crucified him. You know, recently, Teresa, during the presidential race, I found myself, you know, getting really angry at, you know, some people I saw and heard on television, you know, telling lies and saying things that really upset me. And the last thing I wanted to do was pray for them. I mean, that's really hard to pray for people that just get you so upset you don't know what to do. But, you know, I had to remind myself that God created them too, and he loves them just as much as he loves me, maybe more. And he wants me to love them as well. And that's really difficult. I know some family members didn't even celebrate Thanksgiving together this year because of political differences. You know, and others that did, you know, would maybe ended up arguing. You know, my pastor, mainly for that reason, offered confession on Thanksgiving evening between 7 and 9 p.m., which I thought was a great idea. So for those that maybe lost their temper and got in arguments. But, you know, we don't have to agree with those that, you know, that we disagree with or, you know, and what they say or what they do. But we are supposed to care about them and their well-being. And we, you know, we want to lead people to Jesus. In fact, we're commanded to do that, to
right.
spread the gospel. So, you know, and that's a challenge too. But just the other day, I saw on TV a man who was polling people about Jesus. And he would go up to random people and ask them if they loved Jesus. And I was so shocked, Teresa. Every one of them said no. Every one of them.
What?
So we have a lot of work to do. I mean, it's really sad that so many people have turned away from God. And
wow.
so I think we have a lot of work to do. We need to spread the love and peace and joy of Jesus and bring others to Christ.
Yeah. I know you're familiar with the great work of Father John McArdle. Many of our listeners are. And he always
yes.
says that the gospel comes with a house key, which he stresses is the importance of relationship. And I think sometimes that's hard because we get rejected by our family or we get rejected by people with whom we disagree. But I think we just have to forgive and keep the door open. It doesn't mean, as you said, that
yeah.
we have to agree with them. Or if they're engaging in bad behavior, it doesn't mean that we don't lovingly confront them and challenge them in that. But we are called to
right.
forgive. Something that really hit me and made me really angry, I don't know if you saw this, and Patricia Heaton posted this, and I really appreciate her commentaries.
Me
There's
too.
This new video, or relatively new video going around where these women are talking about abortion being an act of love. I mean, they're all about this is all about love. And I was like, I just, the only thing I would say is, Father, forgive them, for they know that what they do, and pray for these
yeah.
people, because how can you abort? Killing a human being is an act of love. Okay. All right.
I know.
Think about that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. Praise help us. Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Yes. Pray
Amen.
For them. Pray for them.
Amen. Gail, thanks so much. Happy Advent. Look forward to having you on and to encourage us through this beautiful time of year. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.